The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
Changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left. I'm Radio Pastor Ernie Sanders, and indeed, this is still the voice of the Christian resistance. And he's our producer for at least a while, and it's none other than Style.
Good evening, Pastor.
And here, say, ho, ho, hey, hey, we have Randy Gay.
Be blessed, no stress, everybody.
She flips and she flutters and she bounces and stutters, none other than the studio marm, Little Lisa.
Good evening, everyone.
We have a special guest here tonight, and she's a young one and a pretty one, and she is from Right to Life of Northeast Ohio, Sarah McGurvey.
Hello, everyone.
Good to have you here tonight. So we have a whole lot to do. So we're going to get right after it. That's what we do here, don't we? The title of the message was, You're His Kind of Fool. And we took that over. We were looking at so many places in the Bible. In fact, did you know that all through Scripture refers to those on the right as being righteous? In Matthew chapter 25, it talks about those on the right will inherit the kingdom, but those on the left will be cast into the lake of fire. In Ecclesiastes chapter 10:2, it says, a wise man will turn to the right, but a fool will turn to his left, okay? And he'll continue to tell everyone that he's a fool. So all through Scripture, now it's an interesting thing too, upon the cross, the thief on the right repented and received the Lord. The thief on the left, well, he didn't fare so well. But we see all through Scripture, so isn't that interesting today that how the left refers to themselves as the left? In other words, the party of sin. The party of sin is what they are out there today. And so we're going to pick it up tonight. It's because a lot of people, I know in less than 2 hours, the border is going to be open and they're going to storm. I mean, it's going to come in. They're going to be storming the country here because we have high treason. We have high treason. We told you before, two and a half years ago, we told you about Joe Biden. We told you that his orders from the Communist Party, Chinese Communist Party, was to keep the borders open, the Biden crime cartel working with the Mexican drug cartels and the Chinese, Communist Chinese. They wanted to do this to keep a steady flow of drugs coming in. Human trafficking, a steady flow of human trafficking, sex workers, and children to be molested. And we told you that 2.5 years ago. Now it's finally coming out. More and more every day is coming out. But folks, the Bible makes it very clear. It couldn't be any clearer. It couldn't be any more precise than it is when you read 2 Timothy chapter 3. About the days we're living in. It describes. In fact, it even starts off by saying, in the last days. And so it tells you that it's exactly the last part of the sixth dispensation period. And then, of course, if you read Romans chapter 1, there again, it shows you precisely what it does. It takes, and it shows you how you have the environmental wackos, because it talks about these people that worship the creature more than the creation. The environmental wackos out there, how they're in collusion with the sexual perverts, okay? I mean, just think about this. When the Lord says he will have them in derision, and he will choose their delusion in Isaiah 66:4. Now, think about this. We have people on the Supreme Court that don't know what a woman is. Okay, right? I mean, can you imagine this? So I could have told you when I was in second grade what a woman, every kid in the class could have told you what a woman is, right? I mean, really? You don't know? and then you had... Then you had, just think about that, the AMA said they're no longer going to put male or female on your birth certificate because they're not sure there is male or female. Right?
Oh, America. God bless us.
Now,
the question is, they ask you, what do you identify as? And it's wide open for all the other... What is it, 100 and something choices you can be now? Or whatever it is. Something outrageous like that.
Well, you know what I would put down? Smarter than anyone at the AMA. Okay, okay, absolutely. Well, we're going to get into our scripture because, see, we serve an awesome God. And he reigns from heaven above, as we have on that sign out, big poster out in front of the church. And we're going to take a look at him because when we looked at that, when that spokesperson for that Satan God come out, and he made the statement saying, we don't really believe in Satan. We don't really believe in a devil. We don't believe in God and Christ and Christians. We're just here basically to make a mockery out of Christianity. That's a fool. That man, the Bible says, he that says there is no God is a fool, okay? And that man is a guaranteed fool, okay? But let's take a look at the God that they picked a fight with. In Isaiah chapter 40, verse 21, have you not known, have you not heard, hath it not been told you from the beginning, have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? Now, do you know what he's talking about here? He's talking about creation. He's talking about creation. In other words, he's telling you, have you not seen all of these things from the very beginning? No. Let me ask you this. Has, in all of history, anyone ever been able to give a better explanation of creation from where it started to where we're at now than this book right here?
Oh, no.
Okay.
No.
Has there ever been any other absolute authority than the Word of God?
No.
Was there anyone there in the very beginning when it all started other than God?
No.
Okay. Well, that means all of those on the left are fools, okay? When you come up with this, for example, when they refer to evolution, you know, there's one absolute exact science, and that's maths. Evolution is mathematically impossible. Not only that, but look, there has never been, there is not now, and there never will be a creation that didn't have a creator. That's impossible to have, right?
That's right.
Right. Amen.
Okay, our opposition is totally void of common sense. It's totally void of common sense.
What is it? The possibility is like 1 to the 32 zeros, whatever that number is, whatever the possibility of that, which is...
Yep, of evolution. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. So he says this, it is he that setteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers that stretches out of the heavens as a curtain and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in. Well, going back to verse 21, you know, one of the strongest evidences that everything that we see were created and could not have evolved by themselves was the law of entropy. Now, you know what the law of entropy is, right?
Right, that things are basically going towards disorder.
It's the second law of thermodynamics.
Right. Yeah.
In other words, hear it. You know, that's it. It shows you that everything left alone, you know, according to evolution, things will keep getting better. Okay,
right.
Men will keep getting bigger, smarter. You know, Adam lived over six. What he lived was it 900 something years?
Yes.
And men are not getting bigger. They were much bigger in those days of Adam. But look, according to the theory of evolution, if you was to take an apple that fell off a tree and set it there, it would become better. But it doesn't. It rots, huh?
Sure. Emil Coué said, his famous quote was, "Every day and in every way, I am getting better and better."
Yeah.
Which is the ultimate foolish statement.
Well, you had to... Einstein made a statement. He said, unfortunately, God does not have to theorize, okay? So Einstein lets you know right there he believed in God, the ultimate intelligence. And here God says, "Is it he that setteth upon a circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretches out of the heavens as a curtain that spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in." So, when he talks about the circle of the earth, that's an interesting thing here, because when you look at that, you have a lot of people today that still talk about a flat earth, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, and he said he hung the earth and the sphere of the earth in, on nothing. And so, I mean, how would these people, when this was written, thousands of years ago, they didn't really have the technology to know all these things, right?
That's correct.
Right.
They really didn't know. It was whatever they perceived it to be.
Okay, so God made it all totally available to them. And, you know, it's... it's an interesting thing here when you go back. And I used to have... Oh, back some years ago, probably 20 years ago, we had it about once or twice a month. We had nuclear physicists on the program. There was a whole group of them, and they would come on. And they would talk about the different dimensions, the dimensions they theorized in that. And these guys, they were all scientists. They were saying what I said years ago, that you've often heard that the Constitution is a living, breathing document. It's not. But the Bible is, because what happens is things that have been in the Bible for thousands of years, even though it's been in here, we didn't recognize it until God made it available for us. And if you go back to Daniel chapter 12, he tells you that when he says, seal up the book until the time. Well, right now, all of that information is being made available to us now. Little by little, it's coming out. The book is being displayed right in front of us here. So he goes on and he says, "He that brings the princesses to nothing, he that makes judges of the earth as vanity, yea, they shall not be planted, and yea, they shall not be sown. Yea, their stock shall not take root in the earth. And he shall also blow upon them, and they shall wither, and the whirlwind should take them away as stubble." Do you think he's defining the deep state right there?
Yes.
Do you think he's defining the new world order right there?
Yeah.
"To whom then will you liken me, or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One?" Well, Klaus Schwab said he's equal to God, right? Oprah said she's a source of her own salvation, okay? Obama says, "I am he that you've been waiting for. I am he that I've been waiting for, or the one I've been waiting for." George Soros said he was a god. He said he was a god. And so here...
Don't forget Jesse Duplantis that God calls on for information.
Yeah, that's the best one. Jesse Duplantis, I heard him say it. Now, if that wasn't bad enough... You had those silly women saying, "What did he ask you?" You're kidding me, right? Yeah. Jesse Duplantis was telling these women that God calls on him for advice, and they wanted to know what he asked them. Interesting, right?
Yeah.
Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things that bringeth out their host by number. He's talking about the planets out there, the host of the heavens. He's talking about, you know, the unlimited. If you go back to, let's go back to where we missed here, where he talks about, and he set upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers that stretches out of the heavens, and he stretches out the heavens as a curtain that spreadeth them out as a tent went to Delon. He's talking about the first heaven here. He's talking about our sky. He's talking about our atmosphere here on earth, what he's referring to here. And see, he says, now lift up, going back to 26, lift up your eyes on high. Behold, who had created these things and bringeth out the host by number? He calleth them by the names, by thy greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, and not one faileth. In other words, he's named these planets by their character, by what they're doing.
Well, sure, think of the billions, though, and trillions of galaxies and planets, and God calls them each by their name. That's like mind-boggling. That every planet, he understands that each one is different than the other one. I mean, it's like looking at the sand on a beach. I mean, to us, it's all one big mass, one big mess. And to God, it's individual grains of sand. That's unfathomable.
And so then when he's talking about he that is strong in power, he means he has given each one of these planets he's created the ability to carry out what his will was to them.
Yes.
And so it's an amazing thing. And then I want to go over to Matthew. And in Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19, verses 21 through 26. Today, let me ask you, well, let's start here. Well, I'm going to go back to verse 20. Then the young man said unto him, all these things I have kept from my youth up, what do I lack? Now, here's what Jesus said. If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell all that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. Now, this is a good message to the prosperity preachers, right?
Yes.
Out there, and so the Lord is telling him, go sell all what you have. I got something much better for you. But when the young man heard that, saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Now, here's where your faith comes in, right? Then said Jesus unto his disciples, verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now, this really, really went against all that they taught, because back in the East at that time, in Israel and in those days, they believed that if you were rich and wealthy, it's because God loved you.
That was the evidence of you being blessed.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But if you were poor and sickly, well, then God didn't love you. Okay.
Yeah.
You weren't a good person. And so it was when his disciples heard that, they were exceedingly amazed. This is totally contrary to what they've always been taught. Who then can be saved? But Jesus beheld him and said unto them, with men it is impossible, but with God all things are possible. So if we take a look back through the Bible, Solomon was a very wealthy man, yet God loved him. King David was very wealthy. Mm-hmm. If you go back to Abraham and Job, were contemporaries, and Abraham and Job were the two richest men in the world at that time, okay? But if you place the percentage of rich men who were faithful to God, it's very, very low. Like today, for example, you see people like George Soros, who says he is a god. You see people like Bill Gates, who thinks he's a god. Okay, do you think that any of them would? Do they actually are trying to become gods? Bill Gates trying to, decide who should live and die. Okay, Klaus Schwab. It's the same thing, the same way. And so, let me tell you, those folks are in for an extremely rude awakening, right? Because they're going to find out like Ethelbel. Ethelbel was a fellow who thought he was a god. He was the prince of Tyrus. Let me just read you this here. I'm going to read you just a little bit over here in Ezekiel chapter 28. So the word of the Lord came again unto me, saying, Son of man, say unto the prince of Tyrus, Thus saith the Lord God, because thine heart is lifted up, and thou hast said, I am a god. I sit in the seat of God in the midst of the seas, yet thou art a man, and not a god, though thou set thine heart as God. Well, now this was Ethelbel the third. You know who he was? He was Jezebel's nephew. And so here, he sat on a huge mountain, right? And the waterways, the trading coasts were underneath him. So he had complete control. People had to pay him. And also part of that, what they controlled was human trafficking, okay? And so, see, when you're up there high like that, you can determine who can go by. It's a lot easier to drop big rocks down on ships than it is for big ships to throw big rocks up. So he thought, man, he said, I'm a god. He said, I'm a god. Look at me here. Now here's where the Lord starts to chide him. The Lord, God's got a sense of humor, right? He says, yet thou art a man and not a god, though thou set thine heart as the heart of God. Behold, thou art wiser than Daniel. See, and he was a contemporary. Now, Daniel was known to be one of the wisest men of his day, okay? At that time, Daniel was, he was way up in years. And he said, now he's chiding him here. He says, why, there is no secret that they can hide from thee. Why, with thy wisdom and with thy understanding, thou hast gotten thee riches and hast gotten gold and silver into thy treasures. By thy great wisdom and by thy traffic hast thou increased thy riches, and thine heart is lifted up because of thy riches. Now he drops the bomb on him. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, because thou hast set thine heart as the heart of God, behold, therefore, I will bring strangers upon thee, the terrible of the nations, and thou shalt draw their swords against the beauty of thy wisdom, and they shall defile thy brightness. They shall bring thee down to the pit, and thou shalt die the deaths of them that are slain in the midst of thee. Wilt thou yet say before him that slayeth thee, I am a god? But thou shalt be a man and no god in the hand of him that I slayeth thee. So what happened was old Ethelbel, he was telling him he's a god, but Nebuchadnezzar didn't believe it. So Nebuchadnezzar told his men, you go up here and kill that god.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Yes.
And so when those guys got up there, Ethelbel says, you can't kill me, I'm a god. They didn't buy it. Things went south for old Ethelbel, I'm telling you. Okay, we're going to go to a break right now.
The doctor did our dirty work, so now we pay the bill. We thought he solved our problem, but our life's a living hell. I toss and turn in bed at night, 'cause God, it's hard to sleep. In my heart and in my mind I hear a voice that says to me, you could have took me fishing, Dad. You could have taught me how to swim. I could have made you proud of me. Now I'll never have that chance. I could have been your little boy, standing right there by your side. I could have been your pride and joy. Daddy, did I have to never thought of it as right or wrong, but I think about it now. Oh God, I'd give my life if I could just turn time back somehow. I'd let him live and watch him grow. I'd buy him everything, but now he won't need a ball or bat. He'll never play one game. You could have been my hero, Dad. You could have done what daddies do. You could have rode me on your back. You could have taught me to tie my shoes. I could have grown into a man. I should have had my chance at life. We could have been the best of friends. Daddy, did I have to die? God, the choice of life belongs to you. It wasn't hers or mine. And I know she feels the same way too. Sometimes I hear her cry. How can we ever be the same? Or live with what was done? Instead of these two broken hearts, God, we might have had a son. You could have been my hero, Dad. You could have done what daddies do. You could have rode me on your back. You could have taught me to tie my shoes. I could have been your little boy, standing right there by your side. I could have been your pride and joy. Daddy, did I have to die? Daddy, did I have to die?
Alrighty, we're back. And that was my old buddy, Danny Ray. My old buddy, Danny Ray. Hey, Danny, listen, I'm ready to do that song, pal. I'm ready. So if you're listening out there, give me a call. We'll get her done. Danny and I have done a number of songs together. And anyhow, he is quite a talented artist. And so anyhow, we're going to start tonight because I have Sarah McGurvey here with me from Right to Life of Northeast Ohio. Sarah, yesterday we had a big victory, didn't we?
We did, absolutely. It was fantastic. Yes.
All righty. That what means that we need we've won the vote, that we need 60% of a vote in the Senate to change to make an amendment to the Constitution. In August, we'll be voting on whether or not they're going to want to get to what they call the opposition has a horrible. Right from the pit of hell, right from the pit of hell, piece of legislation called the Reproductive Rights Amendment to the Constitution, folks. And it is right, like I said, from the pit of hell. Sarah, what would that do with every single bit of pro-life legislation that we've passed over the last 50 years?
So if they manage to get all the signatures that they need, which is 413,488 valid signatures, by July 5th, they could end up on the November ballot. So that's why this August 8th election is so important, because if we can all go out and vote August 8th to vote for a 60% threshold amendment to be added to the Ohio Constitution, and then in November, if they get less than 60%, then parents' rights, parental notification laws, will stay intact, because if they win, if heavens forbid, they get all the signatures, they end up on the November ballot. And also, if we don't get the 60% amendment voted for, then there are 50 current laws in the Ohio Revised Code that will be overridden by this amendment to the Ohio Constitution that will strip away literally every parental rights law regarding abortion and contraception.
Also,
gender
when
issues.
It comes to, these what they call trans surgeries, the mutilation of children is what it is. It's mutilation. It's total child abuse, folks. And in other words, literally, it'll be a free fire zone for abortion for any reason at all. No limitations. And, you know, it's going to be.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's right. Like I said, this is legislation for.
And won't it also make it mandatory that all 88 counties have to be, a part of it as opposed to what's it like 48 now or whatever?
So there's two things happening right now.
Okay.
So what was passed yesterday in the House of Representatives that was already passed in the Senate. So the Senate had already passed for both an August 8th election and for a 60% threshold amendment to the Ohio Constitution. It had to go through the House next, and then DeWine promised to sign the August 8th election. He does not have to sign the 60% one. That's not his business. But the August 8th special election is only for the 60% threshold of the Constitution that would amend that. So that's what that's for. The other piece is the Reproductive Rights and Protections for Health and Safety Amendment that Protect Choice Ohio, which is the pro-choice coalition, is trying to get put into the Ohio Constitution. So that's, again, if they can get all of their signatures, they're all verified as valid, all 413,488. If they achieve that number and they're all valid by July 5th, that would go on the November ballot. This piece of legislation that was passed yesterday, which had the August 8th election added to it while in session, will go on an August 8th ballot. And unless somehow there is a county or territory where you have another issue happening simultaneously with that resolution, it would only be for that one thing, that August, that 60% resolution, which has been effective in last year's vote too, because the two issues were, they won with 76 and 72%, I believe. So if it's a good thing that most Ohioans want, why not make it a higher number? Because if it's 50% plus one, like it currently is, to amend the Ohio Constitution, I mean, I'm not sure what your grades were in grade school, but last I checked in schools, 50% plus one is still failing. So
yeah. Yeah.
60% in some places still is too, but I mean, it's much higher, and that would show a majority of Ohioans would desire this. And in various states, they've done well with the 60% threshold, and there have been tax decreases that have happened because they had that in place, and they've gotten over 60%. So in this case, on August 8th, Ohioans will get to use their voice in their vote to decide if they want that. And it is a great thing because the Ohio Constitution is actually longer than the U.S. Constitution is and has been amended already 172 and counting times. So there's 172 amendments to Ohio's Constitution already, while the U.S. one, which requires a supermajority to amend it, only has 20-something, I believe 27 amendments to it. I could be wrong on that math. I apologize. But you see the drastic difference there. Why should the state constitution be longer than the U.S. Constitution? So the August 8th election is specifically for that number, the 60%, while to make sure that our Constitution is protected, and the NRA and the Chamber of Commerce are also backing that up as well. That way, when we get to November, if the pro-choice amendment makes the ballot, then it would need to get 60% or more to pass. So
all right, now I'm going to have to correct you here. It's not pro-choice. It's
pro-death.
It's always pro-death. Don't ever use their terminology, because whoever frames the debate wins the debate. And there's no choice, because there's never been a baby that's chosen to have as little.
This is 100% true. Thank you, Pastor Sanders.
All right, there you go.
Thank you.
Always use that pro-death.
I've been so used to talking to these individuals. I've had the opportunity on a few occasions to be at the places where they are getting the signatures, and I've tried to speak to them in their own language. They would hear my words too, so I've been kind of in that zone. But you're absolutely right. The child who is being the victim of this, who's become the victim, has no voice, and it is the death of them. And in many cases, the mother too, and with, you know, different issues that come from these surgical abortions, and even the medication abortions are also very dangerous as well. And this amendment would open that up severely, because in the language, it does not limit it to any type of abortion. It just says abortion, miscarriage care, continuing of one's own pregnancy, fertility treatment, and contraception, reverse that order, but all there. That means that, you know, any teacher or babysitter, uncle, neighbor, nephew, like if the nephew's older, I guess, but anyone can help the person who's choosing this to obtain the medications that they are asking for. And the state, according to the amendment, Part B, the state shall not directly or indirectly burden, penalize, prohibit, interfere with, or discriminate against either, one, an individual's voluntary exercise of this right, or two, a person or entity that assists an individual exercising this right, unless the state demonstrates that it is using the least restrictive means to advance the individual's health in accordance with widely accepted and evidence-based standards of care. This is terrifying.
You know what you just said when it says an individual to assist? That means that if your friend wants to kill her baby and she asked you to do it, to help her, you can do it, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's what it says. So it's so loosely, and that's what they wanted to do for years. They wanted to make it that anyone could kill babies and you don't have to be a licensed physician to kill a baby, okay? But they call it abortion. But the Bible calls it murder, right?
Well, yes. The other problem with this bill is that it's the scam that they're calling it reproductive rights.
Exactly.
Because you can abort a baby in Ohio up to 21 weeks, which is scary.
21 weeks, 6 days,
months.
Yes.
That's five months. Mm-hmm. And think of all the people walking around that are probably were born within that window. Within that, and they want to make it to 9 months. I understand it. And then as a black person, like, they're all over the black neighborhood. They're in the library, they're at the gas station, the whole bit. And the question I always ask them is, what reproductive rights don't women have in Ohio? And I have yet to have one of them give me an answer, because they can't.
Exactly.
And that's the whole point, is that. And then from then on, I can always tell them that this is nothing more than an abortion extension bill, is what I like to say for it in the black neighborhood, because they know they can have that. Come on. We all know about the whole black issue about more babies being aborted than born and that sort of thing. And like, people need to have that kind of put in their face. But see, they say reproductive rights. That's like, you know, when I was in the insurance business, I always laugh about it. They call it life insurance, but it don't pay till somebody dies. So it's really not life insurance. It's really not life insurance. And I'm saying that that's what they've done with these reproductive rights. It's the same thing. And I really think that, like, people don't understand that. So they see them with the clipboard and they think that that's what it is. But like I said, I asked them, one, what reproductive rights don't they have? Well, it's just in case. I've never heard of a bill about just in case. Because, see, if you're going to say, what if it might, you got to say, what if it might not? But the other thing about black people is that they need to understand that, like, so now instead of getting rid of us in 5 months, they can get rid of us in the full nine. And once you do that, a lot of people will turn away, because I've turned a number of people away from these clipboard carrying people, and these kids don't even know what it is. But if you ask them about what reproductive rights don't people have, they can't answer that, because there isn't any that they don't have. They aren't making women have babies. They aren't stopping people from having sex. I mean, if you really want to get technical about this, it's really none of that. All you're doing now, like you said, is that you're taking the onus off of people that are assisting or encouraging this, and we need to put more on them about that.
You know, read that again, because that is so loosely, you know, you could add into that.
I'll just start from the top, because a lot of people I've met have not heard about this, including various pastors and priests, and even the people with the clipboards who I've spoken to are very misinformed.
Right.
I've spoken to many of them who have said that right now abortion is illegal in Ohio.
It's not.
It's false. It's up to 21 weeks, 6 days.
Weeks?
The heartbeat bill is not in effect right now. It's currently in a court case.
Yeah, I know.
And all the things listed, contraception, fertility treatment, continuing one's own pregnancy, miscarriage care, and abortion, are all already legal in Ohio.
It's legal in Ohio. That's correct.
They have been lying, saying right now my relative met one, and they said, yes, we need this because right now women need to leave the state to get an abortion in case of an ectopic pregnancy. Not true. I met one lady who said that, oh, in terms of parents' rights, oh, well, it's in there. I read the whole thing in front of her. Oh, where is it at? She said, oh, I'm sure it's going to be in there. This is just a summary. Well, the summary is just as long as the amendment is. The amendment, for those who have not read it yet and are on the air, the amendment can fit on a half a sheet of paper. It really can. The first part literally says, every individual has a right to make and carry out one's own reproductive decisions, including but not limited to decisions on contraception, fertility treatment, continuing one's own pregnancy, miscarriage care, and abortion. The state shall not directly or indirectly burden, penalize, prohibit, interfere with, or discriminate against either, again, one, an individual's voluntary exercise of this right, or a person or entity that assists an individual exercising this right, unless the state demonstrates that it is using the least restrictive means to advance the individual's health in accordance with widely accepted and evidence-based standards of care. However, abortion may be prohibited after fetal viability, but in no case may such an abortion be prohibited if, in the professional judgment of the pregnant patient's treating physician, it is necessary to protect the pregnant patient's life or health. And they go on to explain that fetal viability means the point in the pregnancy when, in the professional judgment of the pregnant patient's treating physician, the fetus has a significant likelihood of surviving outside the uterus with reasonable measures. This is determined on a case-by-case basis. And they mention that state includes any governmental entity and any political subdivision. That is the whole amendment, if you have not heard it yet. Parents are literally taken out of this, as is any mention of age requirement, relatives, family. This amendment, which will literally override all 50 laws currently in the Ohio Revised Code that have to do with protecting women and their families, also is called Reproductive Rights and Protections for Health and Safety. Literally, nowhere in here does it mention any protocols or regulations for health or safety, except patient's life or health, and even that's case-by-case basis and open to interpretation. They don't mention if it's mental health, physical health, emotional, etc. So it could literally be, oh, I have a headache, my feet are swollen, oh no, woe is me, which I understand that that's an issue that that women experience during pregnancy. Every woman has experienced that, to my knowledge, during pregnancy. And they could use that as an excuse to have an abortion. It eliminates informed consent. It eliminates the 24-hour waiting period. The judicial bypass law, which means that a minor, if their parents or kin did not allow this, could go and get a judge and tell them, hey, I feel mature enough for this. And the judge could decide if a minor would mature enough to make this choice on their own. This literally takes family out of the equation. And because it's so vague, it opens up to a whole host of problems. It's everything that's missing from this that's dangerous. Again, if this goes in the Ohio Constitution, it is worse than Roe v. Wade. It is.
Well, if you look at it this way, when they said where it comes to the health of the mother, in other words, the way that that's worded, these women can say that I need to have trans surgery. I need to become a man so I don't get pregnant. You know, I mean, you know, you can say anything. I mean, the way that is, and they can apply that in so many different ways.
Yes.
And you know, the opposition, they have the mentality right from the pit of hell. They do. They are wicked people.
They are very sadly, again, I've spoken to some of them too, and I've heard what they're saying on Twitter and Instagram and all that stuff. They honestly believe this horrible narrative that's been taught to them, or they're just so wounded by their own past experiences. I really do think that some of these women who are promoting this, either just it's such a deep wound in their life that they just can't confront it to get healing from it, or they know someone that has had an abortion or experienced a, like, sexual assault and then an abortion, that they really don't comprehend how severe abortion is on the woman. That's just, it's a second assault.
Well,
after, you
know, the Bible talks about God giving them over to a reprobate mind where they become delusional. You've seen this right now. For example, I heard that Katie McEnany and this other woman on Fox News, and they were talking about they couldn't understand why these women, you know, all of these Democratic women were opposed to legislation that would make it illegal for biological males, okay, to compete in women's sports. And they said, we don't, you know, why would women, why would these so-called feminists be against that? You know, having, obviously, see, we know there's a difference between men and women. They, you know, maybe they don't, you know, but, you know, the Bible tells you the enemy attacks men in the area of pride. It attacks women in the area of discernment. The best case that I've ever seen of that, one of the most sleaziest thing I've ever seen was in 2017 when they had the Women's March when the election when Trump was put into office. I was there, and that was one of the dirtiest things I've ever seen. They had... You had these women wearing what they call pussy caps. Then you had others in what they call vagina costumes, and they had with their the big pink costumes with their heads sticking out. They had little 10-year-old boys and girls carrying placards with the F word on it, "You Trump," and they had these kids yelling "F you Trump, F you Trump." Okay, these this was about as is sleazy. Now here, it's about 40 degrees out, maybe 45 degrees out. You had these Muslim women who were dressed from head to toe, and you had these Democratic women who were topless. They were out there topless in 45-degree weather, okay, and encouraging the children to use the F word. But then that wasn't the worst part. You know, when you went up to down from First Street from the from the Supreme Court down to the bottom of the hill, there's 4th Street. You have the Art Museum West there. And in there, that's, you know, that's the first bathroom you come to from when you go down after the march. These women had their march. The women in there that worked there, and these were mostly women and Democrats, were Democrats. These were the women that worked there.
Right.
They told us that that was the filthiest thing they've ever seen, ever. That when all these women came down, instead of like our women, you know, we had a much larger crowd, our women knew to walk down to the next bathroom. If the bathroom was crowded, you walk to the next bathroom. Mm-hmm. These women, Sarah, didn't do that. These women defecated right on the steps, right
what?
On the steps of the art museum, yeah. And it was, you know, this, when it shows you what I'm talking about, the kind of people that they have, these have been given over to a very vile and a very reprobate mind. And, you know, it's like they're insane. It's criminal insanity.
I really do believe that in the midst of all this misinformation and disinformation, really, this narrative that's been built up, it's really turned people's minds a little bit sideways. It's really, I mean, it's very sad. And one thing that the Coalition Protect Women Ohio, the pro-life side, has been doing is praying every day at 7:14 a.m. and 7:14 p.m. in the spirit of 2 Chronicles 7:14, which, if you don't mind, says, "If then my people, upon whom my name has been pronounced, humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their evil ways, I will hear them from heaven and pardon their sins and heal their land." It's the whole verse.
When people do that, we call it revival. And that's happened in this country several times. That's what we need to do. We have been promoting this for years, trying to get people to do exactly that. In fact, I've led up a couple of national, you know, prayer. But we need to keep doing it, don't we? Somehow we're at that time today where the vast majority, well, I hate to say it, but the vast majority of the people in this country are la-la-landers. They're clueless. They're in Proverbs chapter 2, where it talks about the simple-minded.
Right.
And that's where they're at today.
Yeah. People have really lost a sense of what it means to think, especially considering, you know, like you said earlier about the one of the Supreme Court justices who couldn't answer a basic biology question. Again, we got to really, like you said, revival, pray for them. These people, they are God's children. They are God's children doing these things. Even the abortionists out there, too, they are God's sons and daughters.
Well, they're not. You get to be God's sons and daughters by adoption. And what we need to do is get them lost, not tell them that they have some kind of link to God. They need to know that they have no fellowship with God other than and that we all come through the cross. And see, that's what they think. They think that all men are truly brothers. They're not. All people are God's children. They're not. And that's the issue. We need to stop this unity, and don't be afraid to say that.
In John chapter 8, the Lord Jesus said, your father is the devil.
Devil.
He said, your father
that's
is
right.
the devil.
They're not. The abortionists are not. You know, no. And God lists a list of people who cannot and do not inherit the kingdom of heaven, and they fall right in it. No murderer, no fornicator, no liar, et cetera, and so forth.
Yeah.
And that's
them.
And that's what we need to stop doing. We need to distance ourselves from them and let them see, because until you get a person lost, you'll never get them saved.
The whole rock bottom type of idea.
That's exactly
right. I understand. Now,
that's exactly right.
I was at, I like to go and pray outside the Northeast Ohio Women's Center once a week at least. And yesterday I was there and I could see a gentleman walking across the way, and they said, oh, that's the doctor. Well, I'm like, okay, like, God, please help this guy, because, you know, it's – some people need to hit rock bottom before they can realize, oh, I need to figure it. I mean, Saul, you know, on his way, he was blinded. I just thought, God, please give this man this experience so he can really see how much he needs to come back to you and really repent and change his ways. I mean – while they're alive, they have the chance to still repent and change their ways and come back to Jesus. So I just keep praying for that to happen because, again, we need them. We want them to be spiritually in communion with us and spiritually together with us. And hopefully they have that moment where they can really realize the error of their ways and come back to us. And we can all be.
You see, you will not find amongst any actual real natural doctors that will refer to an abortionist as a doctor. They don't. And it's funny because I talked to some of those abortionists, and they said, you know, those people out there, even on their side, they want us to do their dirty work. They want us to do the killing. But you know what? They don't invite us to their social gatherings, you know. Even in prison, do you know that there's one level below pedophiles, and that's abortionists. When an abortionist goes to prison, they have to put them in solitary because even the other inmates will kill them. That's how, but people don't realize that out there today because, actually it's because of the pulpit. The pastors are not preaching the way they should. Okay, we're coming up to a break.
Can you come back on the other half of the break for a little bit?
Yes.
We're coming up to a break.
Thank you.
How much time do I have there? 10, 9, 8, okay.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to wrwl.org. That's wrwl.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. TheWordCleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.